I went to the grocery store twice today on Christmas Eve. Any of you ever go to the grocery store on Christmas Eve?
Yeah,
every parking space at Weiss was taken when I was there today. Have you ever seen that before? I didn't know that was even possible, that every parking space. And then when you get home and you realize you forgot something. What do we do to ourselves this time of the year? We completely redecorate our homes. We figure we need to send a personal note to everyone we've ever met in a Christmas card, right? And then on top of it, we double our caloric intake. How many of you would say you've eaten too many sweets this month?
No,
is that, yeah. So your body starts to rebel against you, and then you don't feel right, and you wonder what's wrong, and you've got more to do than you've ever had to do before, and right. One word. Craziness, isn't it? Craziness. So, let's all do this together. Let's take a deep breath. Let's see, is it in with the mouth, in with the nose, out with the mouth?
Yeah.
So, in with the nose, out with the mouth. Yeah. Let's do it one more time. And maybe, for the first time this month, give yourself permission to think deeply about the birth of Jesus. Let's do that together. Let's pray. We pray that in these few moments, as we think deeply about your story, Jesus, which is also our story, that you would send your Holy Spirit to us again, that we would be filled again with your Spirit, and that we would hear you speak to us at the deepest level of our body, soul, and spirit. And that we would leave here more connected with you than when we came in, and maybe than we have been in a long time. Help us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So our text tonight is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 25, and I'll just read that for you tonight. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born, Matthew writes for us. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. I always enjoy reading the Christmas cards that we receive each year. Some of them include letters, some of them personal little notes. Probably get a lot of those like we do. It seems every year that there's at least one that arrives the day after Thanksgiving. I'm just amazed that anybody could be that organized. I mean, how do you time the card so it gets there the day? And it's usually from somebody like, you know, Missouri or something. So how did they do that? The day after Thanksgiving. And it's also interesting, isn't it, the pictures on all of these Christmas cards that represent our story. There's snowmen, Santa Claus, sometimes just a house nestled in a snow-filled valley. But many of them try to catch in an image the birth of Christ. And we see this just the span of images, don't we? From cute animals cuddled up with the baby Jesus, to the beautiful star boldly shining over the quaint Bethlehem. But if there was a Christmas card that really portrayed the reality of this story, I'm not sure anybody would buy it. I mean, it would have to show an impoverished young couple who had anything but a peaceful face. The Bible says they were greatly troubled and afraid. There may have even been a touch of terror in their face. Quite a Christmas card to buy for people, right? They'd be dirty, tired. Remember, they'd had a long journey. They were sleeping in a cave with livestock. Not a place you want to have a baby, right, ladies? And with them would be a bunch of scruffy-looking shepherds who were anything but regal. And let's not forget that Mary was an unwed mother in a time when unwed mothers were condemned and shunned. How would you even put that on a Christmas card? It seems that God arranged the most humiliating circumstances possible for his entrance onto earth and into the creation that he made. I remember standing one cold January many years ago with Nicole as we watched a presidential inauguration. A friend of ours called, kind of last minute, "I've got tickets, you want to go?" We were like, "Yeah, let's go," right? How often do you get to go to a presidential inauguration? And we were right at the front of the standing, folks. You know, you've probably seen the pictures. There's like thousands and thousands of people. We were right at the front of the standers. So everybody had to walk in front of us to get to the seats. So we saw Hollywood star after Hollywood star walk by to their seats. There were senators and congressmen. Entire Supreme Court was there. The Secret Service, of course, was there, but they were trying to look like they weren't there, trying to be inconspicuous so nobody noticed them being there. The Navy band played "Hail to the Chief." It was quite an occasion to witness. Isn't this how we expect rulers to stride through the world, with bodyguards and trumpet fanfare? But in meek contrast, God's visit to earth took place in a cave with no attendants present and nowhere to lay the newborn king but a feeding trough. The event that divided history and even our calendars into two parts may have had more animal witnesses than human witnesses. And to who was all of this announced to? Shepherds. Still, by many regarded in Jewish culture, they were lumped together with the godless. I don't know if God could have chosen to come to earth under any circumstances, couldn't he? I mean, he could have been born to a royal family with impressive lineage. He could have come to earth in a raging whirlwind or a devouring fowler. That devouring fowler, we would have maybe related a lot more to that. But unimaginably, the maker of all things shrank down. I mean, how immense is God? And yet he shrank down, down, down to become a single fertilized egg, barely visible to the naked eye. This was God. And that egg would divide and redivide until a fetus took shape, enlarging cell by cell inside a nervous teenager. This was the inauguration of God on earth. And this inauguration, this coming of God, this thing we've gathered to celebrate tonight with candles and poinsettias and singing, is our story. It's why we worship. It's why we adore him. Because God didn't make us jump through hoops, dance in circles to get to him. He came right down to our level. I think all of you know that I've spent a number of years here and there, a little bit of time in Miami, and of course here in Pottsville, working at a couple different schools. And throughout that time, I've really been amazed to catch glimpses and watch teachers who were born with the gift to teach. I mean, they have a gift in them that just has to come out. I mean, do you remember, some of you probably remember, a favorite teacher that you had? That teacher had the gift. They couldn't shut it up. It just burst out of them. And the amazing thing to me was to watch these teachers bring education, learning down to the level of an individual student, where they were and what they needed. And not just so that student could understand it and comprehend it, but so they'd be inspired and want to learn and join the class in learning. That's what great teachers do, right? They bring it to the level of the student. Can you remember that feeling when that teacher did that for you? They cared about you. They helped you. They inspired you. This is what God has done for us. He's brought it to us, where we live and how we think, how we act, and where we are. It's the exclamation point. The birth of Jesus is his exclamation point, saying, I'm with you. I'm on your level. As Matthew said, and Isaiah said, I'm Emmanuel, God with you. That's enough right there, isn't it? What is just so fascinating to me, and I don't know if you realize this, but it's only the Christian faith that has a God who goes to such extreme measures to love his creation. Islam doesn't have this. As a matter of fact, Islam has the opposite. You have to fast and work hard and hope you're good enough to someday be accepted by God. Buddhists don't have this. Hindus don't have this. Christianity is the only religion that has a God who seeks us. Many of these other world religions represent God as aloof or judgmental or even capricious. You know, you never know if you're going to catch God on a bad day in these other world religions. But at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is the belief in a God who across heaven and earth, who will go to any lengths to convince us that he is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the good news of who God is. Amen. Listen to this. We alone as Christians have it. No other world religion has this God. Because this is the one true God. And my question is, how does the world not know this? How will so many go through this Christmas Eve and not know what we know? So Christmas images, Christmas cards. How many of you have them somewhere in your home, plastered up, arranged, displayed? Which image are we going to embrace? Do we go with the cute and cuddly, the quaint? Or do we go with the stark, humble, dismal? If we choose the cute, we get some warm fuzzies for a little while, right? I mean, who doesn't like a nice, cute, cuddly picture of a kitten? Right? I mean, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I don't know how that works exactly. I've never seen a chestnut roasting, but, you know, I'm assuming it's a desirable place to be. But if that's what we choose, then we get feelings that pass. As a matter of fact, I read a study recently that said now people are getting Christmas song fatigue. It's like an actual psychological thing that's going on. People are getting worn out by Christmas music. Too much warm fuzzies, I guess, isn't very good for you. But if we choose the humble and we choose the untidy images of Christmas, we may not get the warm fuzzy, but we get to celebrate this, that we matter to God. Above everything else in all of creation, we matter to God. And here's what God knew. He knew if we waited for us to clean up our lives and rise to His level, we would never make it. That's the dirty little secret of all the other religions. They don't tell you you're never going to make it. So He knew we wouldn't, so He entered our dirty, unkept world and became one of us so that we could know who He really is. And so that then He could say, come join me in the kingdom of God. Because if we just celebrate the beauty of what this moment means, but we don't listen to the message that the adult Jesus came to tell us, wow, did we miss it, right? Because Jesus came, as He said, to invite us to change our lives around and join Him in this other reality, which is the only reality, the way of living, the kingdom of real love and real joy and real peace, the kingdom where justice does happen, the kingdom where you are both healed and healer. That God heals you and then sends you out to be a healer in the lives of other people. The kingdom where God forgives you of the unforgivable, and then He asks you to forgive the unforgivable in other people. The kingdom of God. This remarkable place where we can live, where we get to step outside of the craziness of the world around us and live in this reality of God. So this is the starting place. But it's not the end. It's just the beginning. So this whole remarkable story tells us that we matter to God and that He has a life for us if we'll join Him. And that means doing some things that we just can't imagine ever doing. But it also means being so full of God that we have the strength and power to do what we never thought was imaginable. I think we all have our rescue story, right? Do you remember? For me, it's more than one time where God showed up, where you had either didn't know Him or you drifted away from Him. Do you remember your story? Do you remember what that was like? You remember how good God was to you? And He said, He didn't just say, you know, I forgive you. But that's part of it, right? There's always, I forgive you, now come and follow me. And in that moment, we knew how good and kind and wonderful and truthful and just our God is. But if we don't follow, what are we left with? Kittens. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And that's not enough to get through real life. So, sisters and brothers, tonight as we come to this sacred moment, sacred time of worship, let's hold nothing back from our beloved Father, Son, and Spirit, and once again give all that we have to Him.